We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
Good evening. Tonight's top story, everything is awful. We'll start now with the pandemic. What's the latest on that?
It's awful.
To finance now, how's the cost of living?
It's awful, Mark.
And to our US correspondent, how are things there?
It's really awful, Mark.
Now, are you referring to the existing levels of awfulness or the new awfulness that's arisen in recent days?
It's all awful, Mark.
Closer to home now, we've got more awful flooding in New South Wales. What would you say the mood is there on the ground?
In a word?
If you could.
Awful.
Well, we're going to try shifting gears now to something a little lighter, thank goodness. We're joined now by our nature reporter, some say the queen bee of journalism. Tell me, what's buzzing in the bee world?
There's actually an awful new parasite affecting bee populations.
Oh, come on, can't we go to someone else, please? All right, we're joined now by our reporter up in northern New South Wales, lovely part of the world.
Cases of diphtheria over here, Mark.
Jesus, didn't we eradicate diphtheria?
It's back. First time this century.
What else have we got? Ukraine, global food crisis. Oh, my God. Surely entertainment news will lighten the mood. So to our showbiz reporter now, I see there's some good news for the kiddies with the release of the new Minions film.
Teenagers are attending the film en masse, dressed in suits for some reason.
I don't know what that is, but that can't be good.
It's quite unsettling.
Oh, hang on. Sounds like we might finally have something to celebrate. I'm hearing that Australia has hit a new milestone. Huh? That's a COVID milestone. Forget it. To close us out tonight, we're going to monkey around and discuss a bit of important monkey business. We've got our own cheeky monkey on the scene. What have you got for us?
The monkeys have pox. They've spread it to humans, and now there's 39 countries with monkeypox.
Good night.
We'll be right back. As a patriot of faith, I attest my allegiance first and foremost to the kingdom of God and the Great Commission. Secondly, I agree to be a watchman over our nation concerning its people and their rights for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Whereas we, the church, are God's governing body on the earth. Whereas we have been given legal power from heaven and now exercise our authority. Whereas we are God's ambassadors and spokespeople over the earth. Whereas through the power of God, we are the world influencers. Whereas because of our covenant with God, we are equipped and delegated by Him to destroy every attempted advance of the enemy. We make our declarations. We decree that America's executive branch of government will honor God and defend the Constitution. We decree that our legislative branch, Congress, will write only laws that are righteous and constitutional. We decree that our judicial system will issue rulings that are biblical and constitutional. We declare that we stand against wokeness, the occult, and every evil attempt against our nation. We declare and we now take back our God-given freedoms according to our Constitution. We declare that we take back influence at the local level in our communities. We decree that we take back and permanently control positions of influence and leadership in each of the seven mountains. We decree that the blood of Jesus covers and protects our nation. It protects and separates us from God. We declare that our nation is energy dependent. We declare that America is strong spiritually, financially, militarily, and technologically. We decree that evil carries no power, authority, or rights in our land or over our people. We decree that we will operate in unity, going beyond denominational lines in order to accomplish the purposes of God for our nation. And we decree that America shall be saved. We know this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. We know the truth. Therefore, we stand for truth and will never be deceived. We will never stop fighting. We will never, ever, ever give up or give in. We will take our country back. We will honor the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. America shall be saved.
Would you like to see laws that are outlawing masturbation?
Well, I mean, I would go for
because it's. I mean, it says it in the Bible.
Yeah,
it's the seeds of life.
Yeah, I mean, as far as our church is concerned, it's a sin, you know. But as far as laws, I mean, how can you regulate that? I mean,
right. So it's just like, you know, we don't want to tell men what to do with their bodies. In that respect.
Yeah. I'm not going to say it's we should make a law.
Right. But
we're not the Taliban or whatever.
Right. But anyway, you were saying that you're happy about the Roe v. Wade being overturned. Sure, women now can't get abortions in a lot of states.
Yeah.
I think we do have to put some responsibility on individuals to make wise choices for themselves. It may be a little inflammatory, but I received a text message today saying that I should seek to control men's ejaculations and not women's pregnancies, and that I clearly don't trust women enough to make choices to control their own body. And my response is, I do trust women enough to control when they allow a man to ejaculate, so inside of them, and to control that intake of semen.
Well, that all sounds like a bummer. Democrats are in a funk right now, which is bad because whatever their flaws, they are at the moment the only thing standing between America and a monstrous gang of radical seditionists and potato-shaped goblins in the Republican Party who are actively attempting to dismantle democracy and impose an authoritarian theocracy. An authoritarian theocracy where abortion and same-sex marriage are banned, guns are everywhere, and the only books kids are allowed to read in school classrooms are illustrated copies of The Art of the Deal. So the only thing stopping these nut jobs from retaking power is the Democratic Party, which at the moment is not a comforting thought. Virtually their entire domestic agenda in Congress has been repeatedly stymied by Joe Manchin, who just doomed a compromise of a compromise of a bill he originally said he would support last year, even though he's the one who came up with the latest version of the compromise in the first place. And his fellow Democrats are justifiably furious at him. As Senator Bernie Sanders made clear,
Senator Joe Manchin, of course, abruptly pulled the plug this week on the Democrats'
plans to pass. No, Martha, he didn't abruptly. Martha,
he abruptly on Friday.
He didn't abruptly do anything.
He was negotiating for a while.
He has sabotaged the president's agenda. No, look, if you check the record, 6 months ago, I made it clear that you have people like Manchin, Sinema to a lesser degree, who are intentionally sabotaging the president's agenda, what the American people want, what a majority of us in the Democratic caucus want. Nothing new about this.
Bernie's right to be pissed. Who's not pissed? The fate of both the planet and American democracy rest in the balance. And one fossil fuel millionaire is standing in the way. Democrats in Congress are trying to get something, anything done. Meanwhile, Republicans are fully embracing the authoritarianism that fueled Trump's rise and led to the coup attempt on January 6th, even as the committee investigating the coup accumulates more and more evidence that Trump and his cronies committed various crimes.
January 6th committee held another hearing. Evidently, the committee learned last week that the Secret Service erased text messages from January 5th and January 6th after oversight officials asked them for it. The agency says there's nothing sinister going on here, but their story about this deletion has shifted several times. First blaming on their device replacement program, then on a pre-planned system migration. Then they said the dog ate our phones. Our phones are going through a tunnel. And finally, new phone, who dis? Now, no one knows what's in these secret texts. They could corroborate Cassidy Hutchinson's story that on January 6th, the former president tried to choke an agent after the agent refused to drive him back up to the Capitol.
The hunt for those missing Secret Service text messages. The agency says it likely won't be able to recover data deleted from January 5th or 6th. The National Archives is now calling for an investigation.
Tonight, officials at the Secret Service are acknowledging that some key text messages from January 5th and 6th that weren't delivered to the January 6th committee are presumed to be permanently deleted, lost during a previously planned factory reset of agents' phones. The agency told CBS News it is reaching out to phone service providers and manufacturers for assistance.
I would be shocked and horrified if anyone in a position of leadership oversaw the destruction of evidence related to the January 6th insurrection.
The National Archives today asked the Secret Service to investigate how the records could have been erased. Agents played key roles on January 6th, both at the Ellipse when then-President Trump demanded to be taken to the Capitol and alongside Vice President Pence, sheltering in place at the Capitol during the attack.
And you know, it's interesting how they're saying, once you delete a text, there's no way to retrieve it. Yeah, once they delete a text, it's gone. Because best believe, if any of us lost a text, the Secret Service would find it. Yeah. They would find the out of it. You'd be like, oh, I deleted it. They'd be like, give me that phone. They'd be like, ha, so this is what you were doing with Keisha.
And what Trump's going to do is just declare victory, right? He's going to declare victory. But that doesn't mean he's the winner. He's just going to say he's the winner.
Bannon's trial and the revelations about his role in the attempted coup are happening as the January 6th hearings build toward what could very well be a shocking conclusion, even after all the shocking revelations we've already seen about Trump's obvious criminal liability. On top of everything else, last week the committee also announced that Trump had personally attempted to tamper with one of the witnesses.
After our last hearing, President Trump tried to call a witness in our investigation, a witness you have not yet seen in these hearings. That person declined to answer or respond to President Trump's call and instead alerted their lawyer to the call. Their lawyer alerted us. And this committee has supplied that information to the Department of Justice. Let me say one more time, we will take any effort to influence witness testimony very seriously.
I'll admit, before they started this whole thing, I was afraid these hearings would be boring, and instead we've got Liz Cheney doing teases like she's Robert Stack in Unsolved Mysteries.
The President of the United States places a phone call, but for what purpose? The answer to that question and more next week on the January 6 hearings.
I do enjoy imagining Trump trying to get through to a witness because you know he's dumb enough to leave a voicemail message. You know, it was probably like an hour-long, hey, Mark, this is your friend Donald just calling to remind you how much I appreciate your loyalty. I like you, Mark. I like you a lot more than those nasty windmills. Windmills, they give you cancer and they kill your birds. Birds, we love the birds. We love birds, don't we, Mark? The birds, they soar through the skies majestic. It's truly a miracle of nature. I would love to be free as a bird, but instead I remain shackled here on Earth, entangled. Mark, I'm entangled in this web of deceit I've weaved for myself. Or is it woven? I never know if it's weaved or it's woven, Mark. I say weaved and I think it's woven. I say woven, I think it's weaved. I'm always gonna stumble on grammar, Mark, you know that. But the point is, Mark, oh, to be a bird.
Mailbox full. Goodbye.
The Republican Party has fully descended into authoritarianism and they're on the precipice of retaking power and dismantling our democracy, which is why Democrats must do everything possible to stop them.
Round and around and around. Round and around and around. Round and around and around and around and around.
Oh, stop the world and let me on. You see, you no longer care for me, but someday I'm sure you'll see, loving you did this to me. My dream will tumble to the ground, the one I love has let me down. Of his kiss, how could he leave me here like this? Oh, stop the world and let me on. This burning up inside, I know his love for me has died. I lost the wonder of his kiss. How could he leave me here like this? Oh, stop the world and let me on.
Drop out. Thanks for the songs this week from Husker Du, The Young Fresh Fellows, Black Meaty, and Patsy Cline. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Mark Humphreys, Jason Selvig, Carrie Ann Listenby, Seth Meyers, Martha Raddatz, Bernie Sanders, Stephen Colbert, Nora O'Donnell, Jamie Raskin, Trevor Noah, Steve Bannon, and Liz Cheney.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.